time now to cross to Mark Waugh to discuss the test that's been and the test to come. Mark, good morning.
Morning, Jamie. Scott, how are you?
We're going very well. I wanted to start off, Mark, there's been some articles in today's paper about this player in Lance Morris, who's been described as the fastest bowler in the country, and they're saying he could be named in Australia's side. He's from Western Australia and regularly hits speeds of 150 kilometres. Do you know much about this? Can you tell us a bit about him?
Yeah, look, I haven't seen him bowl a lot, Jamie. I've seen him a bit in the Big Bash with the Melbourne Stars and the odd Sheffield Shield match, but he's the leading wicket taker in the Sheffield Shield this season. I think he's got 27 wickets at about 14, but it's the pace he's been bowling, you know, the 145, the 150, which has set him out from the rest of the pack. It's a bit of a surprise call-up, though, to be honest. You know, there's been quite a few guys sort of in front of him in the line with Michael Nisa and Mark Steckerty, these sorts of guys. Not sure he'll play because you've got Scott Boland there who is in the squad already as a reserve fast bowler. So it's probably going to take a couple of changes for him to get a chance. But obviously with the fitness cloud over Pat Cummins and also the idea of rotating bowlers, the fast bowlers during the season, you never know. He might be a bit of a smoky. And with that extra pace, you know, it's always exciting when you see a guy like that.
Well, that's the romance, isn't it, Mark? I mean, people get excited. You know, Tomo, who has been quoted already saying you've got to play him. Sean Tate got us excited. Brett Lee. The extreme pace gets people up and about.
Yeah, it does. And it's, you know, because it's such a rare commodity, it's, you know, when someone comes along, then, you know, you stand up and take notice. So, I mean, it's not all about bowling fast. You've still got to have the ability to put the ball in the right areas, but it just gives you that X factor, your bowling attack. So, yeah, very exciting. If he does happen to get a game, then that's great. But the selectors have shown that even if he doesn't play in Adelaide, he's on the radar, which is really good to see someone like that get a game.
Well, let's talk about the first test where Australia got the job done over in Perth. Did the Windies surprise you at all? They did look as though they were trying so hard, and I thought that their attack was pretty good.
Yeah, no, they didn't really surprise me. I think the result probably shows you the difference in class between the two teams. Yeah, West Indies play pretty well. I don't think they can play any better than that, but at the end of the day, they were no threat to the Australians. So I think it shows you, you know, where we're sitting on the world table and where the West Indies are. The good thing for the West Indies was that they made us work hard for the victory, and young Chanderpaul playing in his first test match at the top of the batting order, he showed plenty of fight and skill. So, you know, they've got a good one there in him. And I think Brathwaite played pretty well, obviously, as well, making 160 in the game. I thought their bowling was a bit disappointing, to be honest. I thought that was their strong point leading into this series. But I thought at times they looked like they were disinterested. And, you know, tactically, they just didn't get it right. So I think they can bowl a bit better in Adelaide. I'm not sure they can bat any better. And the Australians, well, I mean, they just, you know, the batting from Marnus Labuschagne and Steve Smith is on a different level. So, you know, lots of quality there. So probably the result I was expecting, but a good, you know, tough effort by the West Indies to hang in there.
Well, how can the Windies stop Steve Smith and Marnus Labuschagne? I mean, Smith wasn't dismissed during the entire test. What do they have to do?
Well, I mean, Marnus, there was some stats come up with Marnus that he's been the luckiest batsman to play Test cricket. So, you know, but he's a machine, those two. I'm not sure they can do a lot more. I think just obviously get enough balls in the danger area. And if they do get a chance, whether it be a catch or a run out, then they've got to take full advantage of it. So, but you never know. The Adelaide test, the pink ball test, there are times during this test match you're going to find that the batting's going to be very difficult. So the ball really swings, obviously, when the lights come on at night. So that may be the best chance of the West Indies sort of knocking over the Australian top order. You know, maybe, you know, getting luck, you know, being lucky and getting the bowl at the right time to those guys with the new ball.
You mentioned Marnus, Mark. Was there ever a period in your career where you just hit it to people and they'd keep dropping it and you'd had this run where you were almost could do anything?
Not that I can remember, no. I felt like it was the opposite. I'd sort of get out to a bad decision or something, or get out to a free catch. But no, not really. I mean, the thing is, you all need luck. You know, every batsman has an ounce of luck, but it's really how you cash in when you get that luck. And Marnus is just, he's just so hungry. He'd bat for 10 days if it was a 10-day test match, and so would Steve Smith. You know, that sets them apart. They're just never satisfied. So, yeah, he's been a bit lucky so far in his career, and it'll turn around too. He'll probably get a bit of bad luck shortly. It happens to everybody. But at the moment, the main thing is he's riding that luck, and he's he's making everybody pay.
And what about this charade with Pat Cummings? I mean, you were once a selector. He looked like he could hardly walk. Now he still hasn't been ruled out.
Yeah, look, I don't know. how do you know how bad it is, or how
he can't
how close he is to playing? So, I mean, I thought it was a little silly for him to go back on the field in the last day, given that, you know, say a ball was flicked to him low to the left, you would have to, you'd have to try and take the catch, and his natural instinct would be to take the catch, which could have injured his thigh even more. So, I'm not sure. I think reading between the lines, he's probably 50-50. But given the short turnaround, I think there's 5 days between the second West Indian test and the first South African test. I think, you know, you want all your stocks ready to go against South Africa, because they're going to be hard to beat. Whereas the West Indies, no disrespect to them, you could probably put your second, you know, string bowling attack out and still beat them. So, you know, I think they'll err on the side of caution. But where he's at, you know, I really don't know exactly.
And Mark, wanted to get your thoughts on England. They got a good win this morning by 74 runs, but they've just become a real powerhouse. Now 7 wins from 8 matches under Brendan McCullum. What do you think about their form?
Absolutely amazing. I've never seen a win like it. You know, they made something out of nothing on that pitch in Pakistan. I think every other team in world cricket probably would have just succumbed to a draw and not even thought about a win. But since Brendan McCullum's taken over the coaching and Ben Stokes taken over the captaincy, you've just seen a whole new different mindset, and the way they're playing the game is just, it's great. I mean, they're not worried about losing. All they're concentrating on is winning. They're entertaining. They're changing the way test cricket could potentially be played. I mean, they scored at 7 runs per over in that whole test match, you know, with the bat, first and second innings, and then they declared and gave Pakistan a chase of 340 on the flattest pitch you've ever seen. So, I mean, it could have come unstuck, but you know, I think everybody's, you know, you play the game to win. That's what you're there for. You're not there to draw. I mean, there's going to be the odd draw, of course, which is going to be a good game of cricket, but it's just, they're changing the way that the game's played. It's so entertaining. I can't wait for the Ashes next season to see, you know, how they, you know, keep playing that brand of cricket. And I think it's going to lift the standard of cricket around the world. Other teams are going to see this and say, well, hey, why aren't we playing the game that way? So I think it's great for world cricket.
It's not easy straight away, is it, Mark, to come in with a new attitude? Because players obviously think about their own spots, and that's half their problem. They're worried about keeping it. Clearly, he's come in and said, boys, you go hard. If you fail 3 or 4 times, I don't care. You're still playing.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, because a guy like Zach Crawley, you know, they've stuck by him through thick and thin. He got 100 in this test match. So they've identified a playing group that they believe in, obviously selectors and the coach and the captain. And, yeah, they're willing to sort of give a bit of leeway, a bit of slack to maybe the odd failure in pursuit of this style of cricket, this mindset. And, you know, it's just so refreshing, because test cricket in a lot of countries around the world is dying. And if Pakistan keep producing pitches like that, it's not going to help either in Pakistan. It was just lucky that England made that game, you know, what it was, because any other team, it would have been a boring 5-day draw. So, you know, it's good that England have they're making, you know, test cricket watchable. That's what we want to see. Australia are pretty good at it as well. You know, we play in a very aggressive style of cricket, but a lot of teams around the world do not. So it's a great lead to follow.
Mark, let's just head over to the racing world for a second. I can't let you go without talking some racing. And first of all, congratulations to Kim, who won the Nowra Cup on Sunday with French Bonnet. And she's owned by the RSN chairman, John Stewart, that horse. So
yeah,
a double win.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, John's had horses with Kim for 20 years, as far back as I remember. So, yeah, French Bonnet, she's been a cracker. I think she's won 7 out of 19. And then there's the other grey horse, Bethancourt, who John has bred and owns as well, that Kim trains. He's going to be running next week, I think. But no, it was a great weekend. We We had a winner on Saturday at Newcastle. Then the three winners on Sunday, two at Hawkesbury, one at Nowra. The combined price, if I multied them up, it would have been 1,360 to 1, but I'm not smart enough to do that.
I'm an idiot.
I backed them all individually. If I had $10 on, or $20, it would have been 20 fat ones coming in. But no, it was still a good weekend. It was excellent.
Mark, we saw on the broadcast in a break you were watching on your laptop?
That was actually on Thursday at Gosford. That one actually got beat. That got beat a short half head. That's why I was distressed. That was on Thursday. Now we've actually had a string of seconds, so it was great to get a few winners on the weekend. But Jamie, in answer to your question, we've got a few runners coming up. I think we've got a horse called Wanga Wonder in on Wednesday at Warwick Farm. She actually won the midway there a couple of weeks ago on the Saturday. She's drawn 15, so not sure if she will run. But Saturday, the fields aren't out, but we've got a horse called Sweet Ruby who's going really well. So if you see Sweet Ruby in at Randwick on Saturday, she's going to be worth a nice little bet.
Wonderful. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Thank you so much, Mark, for your time this morning. We'll chat to you soon.
Okay, guys. Good to talk to you.
It's always great chatting to Mark.
Oh, how good is he?
Because he's really good for a racing tip.
Oh,
I love it.
He loves it.
He does.
He's married to a trainer. What a perfect setup.